Hi, this is David. I've started a few small businesses over the years, including this podcast, and the situation is always the same. Every day another urgent task pops up and your to-do list is never-ending. Shopify wasn't around when I got started as an entrepreneur, but I wish it had been, because it would have made my life a whole lot easier. How so? Well, with Shopify, you have instant access to hundreds of templates that make building an online store easy. Not just a beautiful storefront, but one that converts visitors into paying customers. Shopify is also packed with helpful AI tools that write product descriptions, page headlines, and even improve your product photography. It's like you have a full marketing team behind you, not to mention tools for managing inventory, international shipping, processing returns, and a whole lot more. If you're ready to sell, you're ready for Shopify. Turn your big business idea into with Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/inspirational. Go to shopify.com/inspirational. shopify.com/inspirational. Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from a lecture delivered by Robert Ingersoll at the McVickers Theater in Chicago, September 19th, 1880. For many years, I have spoken out against the harmful creeds of Orthodox Christians, who wish to replenish the fires of hell, who malign the human race as born depraved, who lift up the theology of Calvin, and who kneel to a God who has accepted the agony of the innocent as an atonement for the guilty. Orthodox and evangelical preachers often say to me, "What do you propose? You have torn this down. What do you propose to give us in its place?" My answer is this: I have not torn the good down. I have only endeavored to trample out the ignorant, cruel fires of hell. I do not tear away the passage, "God will be merciful to the merciful." I do not destroy the promise, "If you will forgive others, God will forgive you." I would not for anything blot out the faintest star that shines in the horizon of human despair, nor in the sky of human hope. But I will do what I can to get that infinite shadow out of the heart of humanity. So what do I propose? Well, in the first place, I propose good fellowship, good friends all around. No matter what we believe, let us shake hands and let it go. That is your opinion, this is mine. Let us be friends. Science makes friends. Religion and superstition make enemies. Preachers say belief is important. I say, no, actions are important. Judge by deed, not by creed. Good fellowship, good friends, sincere men and women, mutual forbearance born of mutual respect. That is what I propose. We have too many solemn people. Whenever I see an exceedingly solemn person, I know that they are an exceedingly stupid person. No one of any humor ever founded a religion. Never. Humor sees both sides. While reason is the holy light, humor carries the lantern, and the person with a keen sense of humor is preserved from the solemn stupidities of life and orthodoxy. I like men and women who have good feelings for everybody. Good fellowship. I believe in the gospel of cheerfulness, the gospel of good nature, the gospel of good health. Let us pay some attention to our bodies. Take care of our bodies and our souls will take care of themselves. I believe the time will come when the public thought will be so great and grand that we will no longer perpetuate disease with our bad habits. I believe the time will come when we will not fill the future with cancer and insanity. I believe the time will come when we will study ourselves and understand the laws of health, and then we will say, we are under divine obligation to put the flags of health in the cheeks of our children. Even if I got to heaven and had a harp, I would hate to look back upon my children and grandchildren and see them diseased, deformed, crazed, all suffering the penalties of crimes I had committed on earth. I believe in the gospel of good living. You cannot make any God happy by fasting. Let us have good food and let us have it well cooked. It is 1,000 times better to know how to cook than it is to understand any theology in the world. What else do I believe? I believe in the gospel of good clothes. I believe in the gospel of good houses, in the gospel of water and soap. I believe in the gospel of intelligence, in the gospel of education. The schoolhouse is my cathedral. The universe is my Bible. I believe in that gospel of justice, that we must reap what we sow. I do not believe in forgiveness as it is preached by the church. We do not need the forgiveness of God, but of each other and of ourselves. If I rob Mr. Smith and God forgives me, how does that help Mr. Smith? If I bully and slander some poor woman and she takes her life, and afterward I get the forgiveness of God, how does that help her? If there is another world, we have got to settle with the people we have wronged in this one. There is no bankrupt court there. Every cent must be paid. For every crime you commit, you must answer to yourself and to the one you injure. There is no forgiveness by the gods, only eternal, everlasting justice, so far as nature is concerned. You must reap the result of your acts. Even when forgiven by the one you have injured, it is not as though the injury had not been done. That is what I believe in, and if it goes hard with me, I will withstand it, and I will cling to my logic, and I will bear it like a man. I believe, too, in the gospel of liberty, in giving to others what we claim for ourselves. I believe there is room everywhere for thought, and the more liberty you give away, the more you will have. In liberty, extravagance is economy. Let us be just. Let us be generous to each other. I believe in the gospel of intelligence. That is the only lever capable of raising humankind. Intelligence must be the savior of this world. Humanity is the grand religion, and no god can put a person in hell in another world who has made a little heaven in this one. God cannot make us miserable if we have made somebody else happy. God cannot hate anybody who is capable of loving anybody. Humanity, that word embraces all there is. So I believe in this great gospel of humanity. Ah, but it will not do, they say. You must believe. I say no. My gospel of health will bring life. My gospel of intelligence, my gospel of good living, my gospel of good fellowship will cover the world with happy homes. My doctrine will put carpets upon your floors, pictures upon your walls. My doctrine will put books upon your shelves, ideas in your minds. My doctrine will rid the world of the abnormal monsters born of ignorance and superstition. My doctrine will give us health, wealth, and happiness. That is what I want. That is what I believe in. Give us intelligence. In a little while we will find that we cannot steal without robbing ourselves. We will find that we cannot murder without assassinating our own joy. We will find that every crime is a mistake. We will find that the only person who carries the cross is the one who does wrong, and that upon the one who does right, the cross turns to wings that will bear them upward forever. We will find that even intelligent self-love embraces within its mighty arms all the human race. Oh, but they say to me, you take away immortality. I do not. If we are immortal, it is a fact in nature, and we are not indebted to priests for it, nor to Bibles for it, and it cannot be destroyed by unbelief. As long as we love, we will hope to live, and when the one dies that we love, we will say, oh, if only we can meet again, and whether we do or not, it will not be the work of theology. It will be a fact in nature. I would not for the life of me destroy one star of human hope, but I want it so that when a poor woman rocks the cradle and sings a lullaby to her darling child, she will not be compelled to worry whether she is raising kindling wood for hell. And suppose, after all, that death does end all. Next to eternal joy, next to being forever with those we love and those who have loved us, next to that is to be wrapped in the dreamless drapery of eternal peace. Next to eternal life is eternal sleep. Upon the shadowy shore of death, the sea of trouble casts no wave. Eyes that have been curtained by the everlasting dark will never know again the burning torch of tears. Lips touched by eternal silence will never speak again the broken words of grief. Hearts of dust do not break. The dead do not weep. Within the tomb no veiled and weeping sorrow sits, and in the rayless gloom is crouched no shuddering fear. I had rather think of those I have loved and lost as having returned to earth, as having become a part of the elemental wealth of the world. I would rather dream of them as gurgling in the streams, floating in the clouds, bursting in the foam of light upon the shores of the world. I would rather think of them as the lost visions of a forgotten night than to have even the faintest fear that their naked souls have been clutched by an orthodox god and tossed into hell. I will leave my dead where nature leaves them. Whatever flower of hope springs up in my heart, I will cherish. I will give it a breath of sighs and rain of tears. But I cannot believe that there is any being in this universe who has created a human soul for eternal pain. I would rather that every god would destroy themselves. I would rather that we all should go to eternal chaos, to a black and starless night, than that just one soul should suffer eternal agony. I have made up my mind that if there is a God, the merciful will receive mercy. Upon that rock I stand, that God will not torture the forgiving. Upon that rock I stand, that every person should be true to themselves, and that there is no world, no star, in which honesty is a crime. Upon that rock I stand, that the good man, the honest woman, the happy child, have nothing to fear either in this world or the world to come. Upon that rock I stand.